It's a best-selling book. It's called Steve Jobs, strangely enough, about Steve Jobs. Walter Isaacson joins us. He is the CEO of the Aspen Institute. He's the writer of this book. Walter, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
It's great to be with you.
I know you're a very popular man right now. This book is doing so well. People are just fascinated with Steve Jobs. He's been called a genius and a visionary. Is he one?
He's definitely a genius and a visionary. He was able to tie technology to beauty. You know, he had a very emotional quality to him, and he loved art. He had the passion and really the temperament of an artist, which sometimes made him drive people crazy. But that temperament of an artist combined with engineering and technology creates things like the iPad and the iPhone and the iPod.
Was his strength in engineering, or was it more in how to market that engineering?
He definitely was not a great engineer, and he didn't, you know, write, you know, very elegant computer code. When he was very young, and he was part of the geeky electronics culture growing up in California, but also part of that hippie counterculture in California in the late 1960s, he was told by somebody, the great place to stand is at the intersection of art and technology. I think that he would consider himself more of an artist. I mean, he had great friends like Steve Wozniak, who were brilliant engineers, but they went off and they looked for bootleg tapes of Bob Dylan, and I think that Steve Jobs associated with Bob Dylan more than he did with great engineers.
You know, I know when people look at the great fortunes that have been made in the computer and the software business and the programs and such, people look at a guy like Steve Jobs. He didn't seem to be all that affected by the money. It seemed to be more of a passion and a drive for him.
Yes, he never became the richest man in America, but he created the most valuable company in America. For many years, he worked at a dollar a year. Of course, he made huge sums of money, especially with his stock options, and that was part of the contradictions of Steve Jobs. When he said, I asked him about money. He said, look, when we were young, we were pretty poor, and then when I dropped out of college and spent, you know, months in India searching for personal enlightenment, I was totally penniless, had almost no money. And then I come back and start Apple, and a few years later, I have $100 million. I've been very, very poor. I've been very, very rich. And I learned that money doesn't mean all that to me. He said, if you're driven by a passion for profits, you're not going to make a great company. But if you're driven by a passion for products, making really great products, the profits will usually follow, and you'll have a company that lasts for generations.
You know, the stories about him and how he ran Apple, especially in the beginning, are the stuff of legend that people would be working 3, 4, 5 days straight, that he would just drive them to do that. And he wasn't the nicest guy back then.
He definitely wasn't the nicest guy. He wasn't the kindest and gentlest boss. He said, that's who I am. And especially in the first tour of duty at Apple, it ends kind of badly, because even though he gets a team that's insanely great and creates the Macintosh computer, he's eventually ousted from Apple because he's just too much to deal with. He's just too rough of a manager. He comes back again, 12 years later, and suddenly he's learned, and not suddenly, but he's learned a lot. He's matured a lot. He's still a rough manager. He's still somebody who can be brutally honest, but he knows that brutal honesty is the price of admission for being in the room, and he allows people to be brutally honest with him. He said, they can tell me I'm full of it. I'll tell them they're full of it, but we end up with a team that doesn't permit mediocrity. It's a team of A players, and I think by the end, people are inspired by him. They're willing to march through walls for him, but they're certainly not willing to say he was the nicest, sweetest boss they ever had.
It was always interesting, I thought. I remember a movie came out years ago called Pirates of Silicon Valley. I think it was a book first, but they were talking about the battle between he and Bill Gates, he and Microsoft, and what they did in the beginning and such. What was his relationship like in the beginning and then at the end with Bill Gates?
You know, that's that competitive and yet respectful relationship of people can be friends and rivals who can really bond with each other yet also be competitors. I call it a binary star system because in astronomy, sometimes the orbits of two stars are linked by the gravitational pull they exert on each other, and that's the case with Bill and Steve. In the early 1980s, most of what Microsoft did under Bill Gates was write software for computers like the Apple II and the original Macintosh. So they were very close, but then what happens is the Macintosh look and feel, you know, that graphical interface that we're all used to by now with folders and documents on your screen, and you can point and click with a mouse and drag and drop them. That was something developed by Steve Jobs at Apple after he saw it at Xerox PARC, and he gets worried that Bill Gates is going to try to copy the whole thing, and indeed Bill Gates and Microsoft does when they create Microsoft Windows. So that leads to a huge rift, in which Steve just berates and yells and screams and then sues Microsoft for ripping us off. On the other hand, when he comes back to Apple in 1997, one of the first phone calls he makes is to Bill Gates, who comes down and meets with him, and they agree that Bill Gates and Microsoft are going to start writing really great software again for Apple computers, and that helps save Apple computers. Once again, there's a bit of a rivalry in the relationship, especially because deep down inside, Steve's way of doing business was integrating hardware and software. He was kind of a control freak, whereas Bill Gates would license out Microsoft's operating system to all sorts of hardware manufacturers like Dell and IBM and Compaq. And that ability to integrate hardware and software that Steve Jobs did came from a passion for perfection and really wanting to create an integrated, easy-to-use product.
Okay.
In some ways, that works better. It makes for better products. But the business model that Gates does sometimes works as well, which is why Microsoft dominated the operating system wars. At the very end of their lives,
Steve, Walter, I got to jump in. I'm up against a wall on time. I apologize.
Right.
Walter Isaacson is the author of the book Steve Jobs. It's available everywhere. Don't miss it. It's a great read.